You know what to do. Do you listen to yourself? Feel out the truth.
Win or lose,
I'ma give 100%. If they ain't giving out respect, then I'm taking that.
Win or lose.
I don't really care if haters really don't agree though. Killers in the streets and they weapon is police, claiming they ain't got no beef or steady, only eating keto. But we about to change that today. Your clans with guns and badges, they won't be safe. Your pipes that poison lands, no, they won't be safe. It's time to fight with us or get backed away. Because revolution steady right on the itinerary. I'm sick of seeing all my people in obituaries. Stay mad, Karen, we don't give an F-bomb. Blow it up by any means necessary. Captain said that I could be a revolutionary. I believe it, I could feel it in my capillaries. We out here and we showing no fear. Revolution's coming near, you don't want us as an adversary.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say fight the power.
Fight the power.
This is how the revolution sounds.
Hey,
and
Blaze.
You know we say
how the richest on the earth got so many needs. I'm a giant, so they looking like my mini-me's. Never been a killer, but the world is tempting me. Steady killing me, but would never put an end to me. Fight the power, so in public, I'm the enemy. Privately contented with intentions of my energy. System all cap, feel like Kaepernick when he in the league. Overcoming haters like John Taylor, we in the lead. I deserve this gold medal. It's from the soil where we once settled. They wanna spoil everyone's ghetto. My future son is about to know the level of expectation to be a black man in this generation. Cause this time, oh, the revolution will be televised. Bringing the evolution of mankind. When you hear me speak, you can tell I'm wise. Truth set us free, that's why they tell us lies. Questioning everything I recognize.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say
you can murder a liberator, but you can't murder liberation. You can murder revolutionary, but you can't murder revolution. And you can murder a freedom fighter, but you can't murder freedom.
Revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yes it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming.
Somos los patis pelados, los comas, los rotos, los chulos y quemados. Somos los cholos morenos, los chicos sin pelo en la lengua y ya está. Somos morenos y qué bueno, no tenemos miedo, no tenemos nada, nada, nada.
Para mí que tu izquierda siempre fue derecha, me da la sospecha que tú te aprovechas. Tú nada te acecha ni prende la mecha, ni ahí con tu escuela no te prendo vela. Baja y escucha, escucha la lucha descafeinado, tremenda trucha. Ya no hay excusa para hacer blanducha, no se me confunda, buena capucha. Papagay, ¿cómo está? No necesito estar high. Este sistema se cae, cae si tú no compras. Papagay, ¿cómo está? No necesito estar high. Este sistema se cae, cae si tú no compras.
Internacionalista Dance Popular.
Papito.
El amigo de todo, no amigo de nadie. Cántalo suave,
escúchale clave.
¿Cómo se hace la clave y el pase la llave para que todo esto se acabe? Todo se cae, todo se sabe. Irak, Haití, Chile combate a liberar este mundo completo si tocan a uno.
Internacionalista, anticolonialista, contra dominación, antifa, antifascista. Internacionalista. Welcome to Views from the Ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
And that's on that, on that, on that. All right. This is everyone's favorite agender host, DJ Love. And you are here on KFAI and WFMU, Frogtown Radio. And we are going to get right into it. So go ahead and take it away.
Hi, everyone. This is Brittany from Minnesota Ice Watch, and we are here back again this week to bring you the Ice Rake, a weekly report back and what's coming up in the future of the federal occupation of Minneapolis, St. Paul metro area. And I'm here with two friends, Diva the Don and Justin. And we want to hop right into it because there is a lot to recap this week. First off, we need to note that in addition to the 3,000 ICE agents that are in the city right now, the Pentagon has put out a prepare to deploy order to 1,500 paratroopers out of Alaska. These are paratroopers that specialize in Arctic warfare. This is notably the Army, not the Marines. Additionally, today we just learned that 1,000 military police from Fort Bragg in North Carolina are also on prepare to deploy. Additionally, we have heard that the FBI put out a call asking any available agents to transfer themselves here to Minneapolis and St. Paul. This is all coming with the fact that Kash Patel, Pam Bondi have been in the city or are currently still in the city. Pam Bondi was here yesterday. Again, she is the Attorney General of the United States. Kash Patel is the director, is the director of the FBI. And now we know that J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States, will be coming into town tomorrow for what's reported to be a town hall with community members. We believe that he is not here to negotiate, but still to threaten as they have been threatening us. So, in other news from the past week, the city has been more quiet since last Thursday when there was a shooting. Maybe we should talk about that first. When a ICE agent non-fatally shot an individual in Northside and was met with a vast community response, almost overwhelming. Agents, ICE agents deployed lots of tear gas. Hard to estimate how much, but at least 6 or 7 rounds per push that they were doing, and they pushed people back and forth for about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it could be anywhere between 40 to 50 individual tear gas rounds used, in addition to the multitudes of pepper balls and rubber bullets used in Northside. All that being said, the agents did leave 4 of their cars unattended, which were descended upon by protesters who smashed and took out some of the federal documents that the agents left in the car. All this to say that these are not professionals we are dealing with, but sloppily trained men and women.
Yeah, and I was also out there because it had happened right after the show, and I was told myself I was taking a break and I wasn't going to go there. And then I looked at the address and I was like, that's my childhood house that me and my brother grew up in for about 12 to 13 years. So I felt very moved to go. And it was real bad. I mean, it definitely gave me flashbacks of like Brooklyn Center, which is the most I've faced being at a protest. They definitely didn't throw more tear gas than Brooklyn Center, but it's probably comparable, and which is very concerning considering that like the whole event of them being out there was like 2 hours or something, and Brooklyn Center was a whole night event.
Right.
Well, multiple times, but it was like usually all night or most of the night, and so for them to throw that much tear gas, they ended up shooting me 9 times with the pepper pellets, and so I was swollen from that. They were, like you saying, was throwing like 5 or 6 different tear gas canisters every time they made a push. They were throwing about 4 to 5 flashbangs. And, yeah, they ended up throwing also this green tear gas, which I noted that it was green, and I asked people for clarification when I was there. I was like, it's green, right? And they threw a couple of those, and that was very heavy. It was on the whole block. It was not dissipating like normal tear gas. And I remember it took me like a block and a half, 2 blocks of running and not being able to breathe because they threw so much that it was more of whatever the green tear gas was than there was air. And so I had to run 2 blocks away to finally be able to breathe. And then I instantly had a headache afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that was very concerning. So, and like you said, some people recovered some documents and, you know, I played chess and watched too much anime, and I was like, oh, you know, like they planted it there. Like, yeah, of course they left their court there because they want us to find the documents and blah, blah, blah. And then the next day they pull up to someone's house and they're like, we need that gun back. And I was like, they really just left everything. I was like, this is wild.
They went to the wrong house, too.
They went
to the wrong house. They're so unorganized.
I was just like, this is crazy. Like, I just, yeah, so... that was just my 2 cents that I wanted to throw in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting again today where we'll talk about it, but there was a very decreased presence of ICE in specifically Minneapolis mm-hmm. from Thursday to Tuesday this week, but they were back out again in force today. Specifically, the commander of the Border Patrol, Greg Bovino, was out doing his little propaganda photo shoots everywhere. And it's worth noting that yet again today, the agents left full magazines, full AR-15 magazines fully loaded in the snow when they left a location. It's just sloppy, unprofessional tactics from our federal occupiers. But we should talk about more the fact that ICE and Border Patrol almost entirely pulled out of Minneapolis from Thursday to Tuesday. We're not entirely sure why, though we do believe that it had something to do with both an injunction by a federal court saying that they were not allowed to use munitions or arrest peaceful protesters. That injunction was blocked today, which means we saw them out again. But we also feel that they were running scared because of the organization in the city and because they feared their own form of repression. And we can see that with Bovino talking last night, too, on WCCO, where he said that they were having a difficult time doing their job because of the presence and the organization of the people in the city and the communication tactics that people used. This may sound great, but also we have to expect them to change up tactics because there is no sign of them leaving anytime soon.
Yeah, just to add on to that, like the stuff that the protesters and organizers are doing is working. They're not able to make as many arrests. They're not able to, they're running scared. They're being sloppy, like we said. So expect them to change tactics, but also just keep working within your communities and keep organizing, talking to your neighbors and like making sure that we're prepared for like the new onslaught of potential troops and stuff that are on standby, because like this is a federal occupation and we need to, this is not just going to be a weekend thing or we're going to be out here for a couple of weeks in the streets and go back to like how things were. Like we have to assume that this is how things are going to be now and start preparing like long term for these things to keep happening and for us to keep responding to their actions.
Yeah, and I guess we want to pose questions to people too, because we've had these conversations with our friends and we want to ask the listeners too, what does long-term organizing, what does long-term defense of our city look like when it comes to facing off against ICE agents? Because individually, we can't go out there every day and chase them around. And we can't bring we can't bring food to our neighbors every single day. It has to be a collective effort. So we have to put the question out there to everyone and we have to discuss it with everyone. How are we holding each other when we need rest? And how are we stepping in for each other when we need a break? Mm-hmm. These are important questions to ask because, like we've been saying, the federal agents are not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. We've gotten reports. Everybody has seen reports that they're here in booking their hotels mm-hmm. weeks in advance. They're cold, lonely hotel rooms where they go drink by themselves at night. And when we go and have fun with each other and laugh and sing with each other at night, we know that they're just in their cold hotel rooms, sad and alone. So how are we going to be able to continue this for the future? How can we keep our morale so much higher than theirs? How can we continue to out-organize them as we have been? There's no one correct answer to this, but they are questions that we have to keep figuring out. How can we support our friends and relatives in other cities as well when the ICE agents eventually go there, like they're going to Philadelphia, like they're going to Maine, like they've been going to our suburbs? Mm-hmm. How can we support ourselves? How can we support the communities around us? And how can we get out there too?
Yeah, and I know a lot of white liberals are just kind of resigned, and they're just like, we're just going to let them take folks because we want to maintain our white privilege and stuff like that. This is not the time. I know y'all think that if y'all let them take, that's not what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. White people are going to continue to be shot and killed like Renee Good was. And instead of trying to endure this, you need to figure out with your neighbors and with the rest of the community what we're going to do, because as you see, these headlines don't even seem real. Like 1,000 more troops are coming, 100 more, 500 more are coming from here. Like, this is the new norm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the new norm, so we need to start getting organized on what we're going to do against the new norm.
Exactly, right. And I think they're expecting us to all be burnt out. I think they're thinking that they can just bombard us with numbers upon numbers upon numbers. Let's scare them into thinking that we're going to have all these thousands and thousands upon agents just descend on our city, and so that y'all would just run scared into your houses. But we're not going to let them fold. We got to, like, show that we are a unified community and that we don't want to stand for these kinds of things. So, like, how are you going to stop yourself from burnout? Because everyone says it, and then everyone does it, and they get burnt out, and then they go and go back into their coddles of privilege and say, oh, I'm burnt out. I can't see anymore. I can't look anymore. Meanwhile, like, Black, Brown, Indigenous people are forced to bear the brunt of this stuff. So, like, I really want everyone who is listening to think about how to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your neighbor, and that's that. You know what I mean? Definitely. We can't afford to be burnt out. We can't afford to, you know, take people out the game. Like, it's kind of an all or nothing situation right now.
Breaks are good, but also, you know, organizing and having someone that you trust step in to fill your place when you take a break is also good, because this is going to get more difficult, and it's going to get more difficult for people who are not as in a privileged position. We know that social services are being cut, like food stamps is probably going to be gone in February. We need ways to be able to continue to out-organize them.
Yeah, they currently put a pause on that, a federal court, but, you know, that could be lifted, or the injunction can be removed, just like the one against the protesters right now. And when we're talking about making systems, we're talking about organizing with your community, because I'm seeing a lot of posts where people are talking about, oh, yeah, well, we need to get the cops looped in. And look, the cops are standing up. Remember, those are the same cops that had us under a military occupation with the National Guard in 2020. They're just jealous that they're not the ones that are doing the occupation right now. So let's make sure we remember that, and we're not sitting here like, we need to figure out how to loop in and figure out how to make them help us. That is not what we're asking for.
No, and they're not helping. Maybe they're not preventing, but they're also not doing anything to stop ICE from coming into our cities. They're not doing it. They're breaking, like, everyone wants to talk about laws and being a law-abiding citizen. Like, ICE is breaking traffic laws. ICE is killing people. ICE is kidnapping people. They're not honoring, like, the judicial warrants. Like, they are just acting completely erratic. And all of the systems of law that are supposed to, like, keep them bound by legality, they are not bound by it. And the police are not doing anything in response to that. And if you see, they're always facing us, not like ICE, you know what I'm saying? So like, if they are there, they are working in tandem with them. People are thinking that just because they don't see, like, you know, MPD, like, directly assisting ICE, that they're not, like, that they're opposed to ICE. No, they're very much one and the same.
Mm-hmm. And we know that this is an administration that is very well equipped to refuse the what the law already is in this country.
Yeah, and a lot of folks, some people had the wrong takeaway, because they did a press conference yesterday where a bunch of sheriffs were saying that they even started off by saying, like, we support ICE, but also this needs to be done in a legal way, and blah blah blah, and people have been illegally grabbed from their house, like the man who got grabbed and had no clothes on.
People have been a blanket and underwear.
Yep, people have been shot and killed like Renee Good. But the one thing that they could point to was the fact that some of their cops were harassed off duty. Because that was the important thing. Because remember that this is about a self-preservation thing for them. This isn't about following the law and supporting us. Because the thing is, we already know that they're on their side. Because the Fraternal Order of Police, after Renee Good was killed, released a statement that said that they supported ICE. So we already know whose side they're on. They said they told the protesters to go home and to leave them alone and let them do what they have to do. So we know what side they're on. We need to make sure that we're working with each other and not accidentally mistaking in this moment of crisis and like just picking some of the closest person next to us. No, that's not. We got to be intentional about the organizing that we're doing.
And I wonder if we should maybe touch on two different repressive tactics so that people who are out there patrolling their schools and patrolling their streets with for their community can be more safe too. I'm wondering if you, Diva the Don, want to talk a little bit about what maybe popped up in Whittier today.
Oh, yes. I heard from a friend that people who are have been doing like patrols specifically around schools, that plainclothes ICE agents are claiming to be with various like nonprofit organizations and trying to tap into like the community organizing that is happening in order to get information on who is transporting the kids to and from school, where the kids are staying, in order to get at the kids and at these parents. So just, I just really want to like recommend to people that y'all are staying vigilant, because not only are they, you know, suited up in these vests, in these like blacked out windshields, but they are also in plain clothes trying to get into our community organizing as well. And yeah, so just keep an eye out for that, vet people, you know.
Yeah. And additionally, we've seen them out, we've seen them out in their cars in plain clothes as well too. Again, this is not to cause panic, but it is something to be wary of, right? We don't need to go around and accusing everyone of being an ICE agent, but it is something to just keep our eye on a little bit. Remember, they don't know the city, they don't know the community like we do, so they're going to be dumb when they come and try to do this, and it's going to be a little funny when they try to do this because they're going to act a little funny. Additionally, we just got word today, I want to say that there is a new administrative memo that allows ICE agents to enter people's homes without a warrant, without a judicial warrant. So we all know the difference now between judicial warrants and administrative warrants. Judicial warrants are signed by judges. Administrative warrants are signed by random DHS people. Now ICE is saying that they have the legality in order to enter people's homes when they want to.
Yeah, and
with
that's
the administrative warrant.
Yeah, and that's quoting an article published by AP News, right?
Yeah, it is. So they've been doing this already. We know that. Now it just gives them even more legal backing to do it and to say that they're going to do it anyway. But maybe we could also talk about something lighter for a second, and that is the fact that a known Nazi named Jake Lang tried to show up in Minneapolis.
Attempted.
I believe he walked two blocks from the Crooked Pint to the city hall before he was so elegantly escorted out by the citizens of this beautiful city. it seemed to be not the city to show up in if you're a Nazi. So to all you Nazis out there, don't
not
come to Minneapolis.
Yep. I ended up going up there and putting a shield over his face because, you know, these MAGA folks like to say that they are. They take pictures and then they were like, oh, there were thousands of people here. And, you know, I'm like, no, there's so few people. I'm standing next to you.
Yeah.
Yes. He was very short. He could not reach the trash can lid. So that and I just kept telling him, I was like, oh, you ain't gonna make this mistake again, are you?
Mm-mm.
I was like, you ain't gonna make this one. And but so that was a very interesting thing. So yeah, but yeah, a lot of folks think I was protecting him. I was not protecting him. I do not believe
you're a
in
champion. You're a hero.
I do not believe in protecting Nazis. So,
no.
But yes, but that Yeah, so it was a crazy time. One of the craziest things I remember, talking last week a lot with my friend Matt Nerdy, and he said that at one point he was like, we got to stop calling them Nazis. Like, it's like a badge of honor to them.
True.
And I remember I was up there and I was like, you're a Nazi. And he said, yeah, I'm a Nazi and I love my country. And I was like, whoa. Wild. And all I could think was that comment Nerdy was saying. I was like, dang, this is a badge of honor. He was like happy about it. He was like, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Oh, so, my God. So yeah, he definitely got what was coming to him. I know everyone is in the world. It's like, it was so peaceful and it was so cool that these black folks protected him and all of this stuff. And I was like, I mean, I guess we could actively ignore the fact that he literally got beat for two blocks. Like, I don't know. I have no idea where the cameras were. Like, I don't right. know. Like, I don't know how everyone saw that and they were like, oh, it was so peaceful. It wasn't. I don't know how y'all got that from that, but I will let everyone interpret it any way they want to. So
word on the street is that he got soaked in urine too.
I heard that too.
Some sort of substance.
You know how rumors are.
rumors are fun sometimes. Yeah. What can you say? Maybe we could also talk about what else is coming up this week, because it seems like it's going to be a fairly intense week to everyone out there who's going to be patrolling and doing walk-bys and standing outside schools and organizing their neighborhood meetings and stuff like that. Not only is the vice president coming into town tomorrow, but there is a massive general strike, quote unquote, that's happening on Friday. So people are going to be out there. People are going to be out there in the streets. People are going to be marching through downtown at 2 p.m. And people are going to be showing up at the Whipple building at 9:30 in the morning that day as well, to do what the Whipple people have been doing for the last since August, which is protesting a corrupt and fascistic administration.
Yes. And oh my God, the general strike. Yeah, I mean, I guess they tried.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty big.
It's very unfortunate for them that they like accidentally scheduled it on like the coldest day of the year too.
Oh, true.
But they can't control that though. Yeah. But I just wish that like there were stronger demands with it, because it's kind of like ICE out of Minnesota, charge Jonathan Ross, the killer ICE agent, and Renee Good. And those are good demands, but those are demands that like the federal government can make. And I'm not sure. I feel pretty confident saying I'm not sure there's any amount of regular protests we can do to like get the federal government to do that. Right. And I'm all good with making good demands and stuff, but I don't understand how shutting down Minneapolis economy is going to affect America to the point where they are going to want to do that. Right. And so I'm a little concerned about it, which is very interesting, because general strikes are generally one of my favorite tactics right. in organizing. Usually you have me at a yes before you even say it. So you really have to convince me to be to a no. And I am thoroughly convinced right now, because I think we need stronger demands for that. Like, I would love to see them put something on, like a moratorium on evictions,
right.
which is what we're trying to get Governor Walz to pass, so people can stop being evicted, and what had happened in 2020 to stop people getting evicted due to COVID. So it's something that can be done. A state of emergency needs to be declared, and then you can put a moratorium on evictions. So we need to do that and do stuff that are – I mean, like, it's also good to have the numbers – and to march down the street, and it's important for solidarity and to keep the momentum up. Like, that's good. Like, it's always right. good to build morale. But we have to do something with the morale, too. Mm-hmm. And so we need to actually, like, you know, a lot of my friends are not going to work. They're not leaving their houses. And there's not a way they can pay rent. So we need to, like, start, you know, actually trying to get this moratorium on evictions. So. Yeah. And we need to do other things, because right now we're seeing Mayor Fry and Tim Walz kind of just coming out and they're like, we support y'all, you know, we're not going to do anything.
They're just doing like a little press conference to be like, yeah, we're with the people, but then don't actually do any part of their job, any part of like their authority to actually enact any change. They're just like, going in front of all the cameras at various places and just like reading off their little script, but not actually doing any change. So I agree that the eviction, what is it?
Moratorium.
That's such a hard word to say. Moratorium should have been definitely a part of the general strike.
So hopefully we can still try to make that a demand by the end of the week. But yeah, I just get really scared when we don't have like real, when the demands aren't meeting like the action that you're doing. You know, I believe in the diversity of tactics and stuff like that, but like the demand has to meet whatever action you're doing. And right now it's not meeting it, and it feels like very virtual signaling. Mm-hmm. Feels like everyone like turning their profile picture on Facebook black. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, except this time there's more consequences to the white folks that participate. So I want to take the energy and I want to do it, put that energy into something that's going to be helpful. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, we talk about this for long-term stuff too, and we say it all the time. All we have are each other, and we keep us safe, mm-hmm. right? These are not just things that we say, but things we believe in. Because when times get tough, Jacob Frey can get all of his makeup on and go on to national news and drop the F-bomb or say this or say that, how he wants ICE out of his city, and then not do anything. Governor Walz can go out there and write strongly worded pleas to President Trump, asking him, please, Mr. Trump, don't come and don't harass my citizens anymore, and then not do anything. This is why we need to keep us safe, both now, 2 months from now, and 10 years from now, because we are the only ones that we can count on. You can only count on your neighbors and the people of this city when it really comes down to it. So how are we going to continue to operate on that when things get worse? How are we going to be able to stem the pressure of a federal occupation in 2 months when most likely this is still happening? These are things to ask us now, because it's going to ask each other now, because it's only going to get more difficult to think about these things as they pop up. So continue to ask about this, continue to hold each other close, be soft and kind with each other, and then hard and mean to our enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we just have to think about this with more thought. We got to be more caring and more thoughtful and intentional when we do these type of things. And in no way am I sitting here telling people not to go to the general strike or stuff like that. Hey, the general strike isn't for 2 days. We can still change it. You know, we can still add demands to it. So I'm not telling people not to go to it. I'm just telling people, like, let's think a little bit more while we're doing this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To be more intentional. So.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I really appreciate y'all coming on and all the work that y'all are doing. For the community and keeping us safe. I appreciate all the listeners and everything that you're doing out there to keep your community safe. I love y'all and I appreciate y'all. And coming up next year, we're going to have 15 minutes with Nico G. So take it away, Nico.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone. Welcome to another edition, 15 with Nico G. My name is Nico Georgiadis. I'm an independent journalist, filmmaker, and co-founder of Unicorn Riot. You can find my work at nicog.work and unicornriot.ninja. Thanks again, DJ, and thanks to the amazing listeners here. Thanks to KFAI. I'm here for 15 minutes during every month's third Wednesday, examining and connecting views from the ground locally and internationally. Today, we're going to stick mostly locally and bring one international story in at the end. My goodness, here we are again. Beautiful people of Minneapolis and St. Paul, the Twin Cities, back at ground zero of a movement for justice and a violent state and federal apparatus attacking the community. This one obviously feels a little bit more scary to everyone, maybe, than the George Floyd uprising, because it's like the federal government being run by a white supremacist administration bent on creating basically a fascist dictatorship in this country. Some say we're already there, especially with political opposition mostly folding to Trump after allowing him to even run for president with dozens of felonies, and the reality that he's one of the core center points of the rampant abuse and children at Epstein Island and beyond, really. The metro now has endured more than 50 days of federal occupation, and the community continues to stand strong, defending itself and supporting one another. From rapid response networks, observing, to mutual aid, and really beyond, neighbors are looking out for each other. They're facing consequences for this. They're dying for this, being killed, being beaten, pepper sprayed, being detained. Some people being taken out to Whipple Federal Building. Some people are being taken out to parks. Everybody's having their phones stolen from them, from the feds. The people who are being let off in parks, I'm hearing, don't have jackets now. So some people are being detained and let off by the feds somewhere, and they don't have jackets and a phone. So call it what you will. It's an occupation of federal agents here in Minnesota and Twin Cities and Minneapolis. And some of the stories we've been hearing are horrible, and they sound horrible. Native Americans being detained. It's a wild thing out there. And it's amazing that there are so many wonderful community members who are waiting outside Whipple to give detainees rides, clothes, food, phones, more. You know, people are waiting outside every block looking out for their neighbors. There's so much amazingness going on. So, you know, once again, like in the thick of government and state sanctioned mass violence against the community, people across the metro are standing strong and fierce and caring for their neighbor. And I just wanted to say that for that, everyone deserves their accolades. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I wanted to touch on a couple specific things here without going too far into ICE coverage, because we know DJ's been covering it. You all have been hearing it. We have the wonderful ICE Watch segments. This media is just covering it wild. So I just wanted to point out a couple publications over at Unicorn Riot, that Ninja, where you can learn about some of the right-wing content creators in town that are here to agitate and push their narrative and use their videos to rage bait community members into saying something or another or whatever, right? We know, we've seen it, we've seen what's going on. I just want to point to a couple articles that we have over at unicornride.ninja that basically show from Nick Sordor, Cam Higby, to Nick Shirley, Jack Lang. You can see some of the latest stories that we have that are focusing on these agitators over at unicornride.ninja. And check out our new 12-minute video documentary of Jake Lang being run out of town. So switching gears, if you're a routine listener of this wonderful show, you may remember that a couple months ago, I spoke about the government's new efforts to target leftists. Trump's NSPM7 memo and labeling Antifa a domestic terror organization through an executive order, right? Well, they've been making moves on this end. In California, the feds arrested a handful of people in December from a group called Turtle Island Liberation Front, relatively new group, mostly posted on social media. The arrest revealed how the government is using targeted online surveillance of groups, continuing to deploy undercover agents, and in this case, a paid confidential human source and an undercover FBI agent were the ones that began monitoring and reporting on the group's activities before they intervened in what they called was a conspiracy. A paid confidential human source was said to have been working with the FBI since August 2021. So in LA, the FBI had been receiving information from this paid confidential human source since 2021 while investigating radical leftists. So last month, on December 15th, the DOJ had announced that it had arrested four people that it alleged planned to detonate pipe bombs on New Year's Eve as part of an anti-American, anti-capitalist plot against two unnamed companies. 2 days later, they arrested another person affiliated with the group in Louisiana. And basically, they're going after all five of those people, calling them domestic terrorists, and they're trying to fold them into these terrorism charges. You can read more information on that case, and you can read the indictment for yourself over at unicornriot.ninja in a new article, in an article that was posted December 23rd. Lately, in another case last month, coming in the context of NSPM 7 and the federal government continuing to use Title 18 U.S. codes as pretext for charging, which is something we've been seeing a lot lately, we go to Atlanta, where Samuel Tunick, a Stop Cop City activist, was arrested for allegedly deleting the contents on his phone during a search by border agents at the Atlanta airport. So he's at the airport, they asked to search his phone, he hit a button, all the contents were deleted. He's now getting charged for that under Title 18, basically impeding the search from federal officers. His story is part of a wider trend of surveillance as well at border crossings. You can check out our story, Atlanta Activist Arrests _ Search Surveillance Powers of Border Agencies, over at unicornriot.ninja. And we heard from legal and security experts who weighed in on the possible precautions that citizens could take to stay safe. And it seems like there's so much more to come from the federal government in terms of investigations, entrapments, surveillance, setups, and more. Even with these rapid response networks, it's important that everybody makes security a priority. Encryption, disappearing messages, not having your phone with you at certain points, having burner phones. These are all privacy measures that you can legally do in the minimum, right? I just wanted to put that out there. To end, I wanted to take you all with me to Northern Greece, where for many weeks, farmers from the country paralyzed the central roads with their tractors. So what began as localized demonstrations in Northern Greece escalated into one of the most extensive mobilizations in modern Greek history. You should see some of the images as tractors all along the highway. And they've created these blockades of tractors. And they've now also blocked customs offices, ports, airport access been disrupted. Really, the image is striking. You see long convoys of tractors stretching across the national roads, as I'm talking about. You can see their engines idling beneath the banners demanding dignity, survival, and justice. Right? Some places, farmers have parked their vehicles nose to nose, which creates an immovable barrier. It basically slices the country into fragments. Greece is still moving, but it's moving around them. Across the country, farmers set up roadblocks and what they're describing as a fight for survival. For many, this is no longer about negotiation or leverage. It's an existential struggle. It cannot go on like this, they've warned, arguing basically that without immediate and structural change, small-scale farming in Greece will simply disappear. At the blockades, people of all ages gathered. You see men, you see women of all who have all taken part in past mobilizations, along those protesting for the first time. Basically like Whipple, right? Like you have people from an eclectic mix of viewpoints and vantage points protesting against ICE and federal agents over at the Whipple Federal Building at Fort Snelling, which again is another story in itself of how colonization doesn't stop, right? Like the United States colonial forces took Fort Snelling, used that place, which was a historical traditional place for the indigenous folks here, used it to then have concentration camps and murder camps there, and that is continuing, right? You go out to Greece and you have these blockades where farmers are fighting for their existence, and these blockades are featuring people from an eclectic mix of people of all ranges of life. Right, you got fires lit in the evening, you got coffee, cigarettes, mutual aid, conversations, nothing much different than we see here at the blockades and barricades and different areas of protest. But for many in Greece, this time feels different, not really because they believe victory is assured, but because there's little left to lose. The costs of fertilizer, seed, fuel, electricity, and equipment have skyrocketed in Greece. At the same time, the prices that farmers receive for their products fall well below production costs. And so many farmers are explaining that to make a living from agriculture, it's become increasingly untenable. One of the farmers we talked to said, "We work hard for a piece of bread. We've reached a dead end. We're our only profession that works without knowing whether we'll even get back what we are owed. So to survive, many of the Greek farmers are taking on multiple jobs, working their fields by day and operating machinery, driving trucks, or doing seasonal labor whenever it's possible. And farming is no longer a livelihood on its own, but seems like a component of a punishing double shift. Not only that, the Greece got flooded recently. It got hit with diseases on sheep recently, which takes out the whole livestock. There's a lot happening in Greece, and the farmers are out there on the front line. There's a new agreement, trade agreement, called the EU-Mercosur agreement. That is also being widely protested across the European Union by farmers. There's a lot going on. So check out the story at unicornriot.ninja. We'll have a video up soon where you can see some of the visuals of the tractors. We have images in the article currently, but check it out. It's called Tractors on the Highways, Survival on the Line, Greece's Farmers Rise Up. Check it out over at unicornriot.ninja. And thank you all for joining in these troubling times. We hope you all can enjoy the rest of your night. Please stay safe. Friday, obviously, with the frigid temperature, is like the statewide general strike. So that is something quite amazing to see in this state, setting new precedents, and see what happens with that. And we'll see if Bovino and his folks leave at any time soon. You all take care. Stay safe. Keep looking out for your neighbor. Give yourselves pats on the back. And tell all the loved ones that you have that you love them. You all take care. Thank you, DJ. Back to you.
Support for KFAI comes from Crooner Supper Club, presenting Martin Zeller and the Hardways, Saturday, February 7th. Martin Zeller and the Hardways take the main stage showroom by storm for this Americana roots rocking performance. From his solo work to his work with the Gear Daddies to his work with the Hardways, Martin Zeller always delivers his real-life voice to his real-life songs with real-life lyrics. More information about Martin Zeller and the Hardways is available at croonersmn.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting the Bronze Buckaroo Film and Songster Show by Dom Flemons, Thursday, January 29th. Co-founder of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, Dom Flemons presents a show in two acts. Act one will highlight songs from the album Dom Flemons Presents Black Cowboys, interwoven with scenes from the 1939 film The Bronze Buckaroo, starring Herb Jeffries, the first African-American singing cowboy to achieve mainstream success. For Act Two, Dom takes the audience on a journey through a century of American roots music, incorporating songs from his album, Traveling Wildfire. More information about Dom Flemons Presents The Bronze Buckaroo and Songster Show is available at thecedar.org.
Welcome back to Views from the Ground. Views
from the damn ground.
And coming up next here, Dear Mr. Colonizer. I'm going to dedicate this one to all the ice agents out there. It's a lot of sellouts and people of color, but I'm still going to dedicate it to y'all.
Ghana, belongs to the Botswana, Cocoa produced in Ghana, belongs to the Caribbean, Agbeto Gwikongo, Omloni Kokore, colonizer. You need to find another hustle. Televised. The revolution will not be televised.
Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting Hamilton de Holanda, Monday, January 26th. Brazilian bandolimist Hamilton de Holanda brings his 40 albums and counting career to the Dakota stage. He blends jazz and bossa nova with choro, the street music of Brasilia. Known for his improvisations and stage presence, Hamilton de Holanda has worked with some of the biggest names in jazz for over 40 years. More information about Hamilton de Holanda at the Dakota can be found at dakotacooks.com.
Welcome back to Views from the Ground.
Views from the damn ground.
This is everyone's favorite agender host, DJ Love, and we are almost out of here. And I'm just reminding you as your weekly reminder that that binary choice is always an illusion. So we're gonna end it here with Feifei at the crib live with Toby.
At the crib version of 5-5 for y'all. And I'm gonna need all your energy because I'm about to die. Yeah, I'm about to lay down. Yeah. Y'all ready? I don't think they're ready. Keep it going, Nick. Yep. I need all your energy. Yep. You ready? Everybody. Look, dog, extra unique. My whole aura's great talent. I've been listening and feel like Griselda and Marvin Winans just to make sure I'm balanced. I'm from the half of my partners is savage, the other half made it out the mud, but the taste of sludge didn't alter their palate. I'm a dog, I'm a beast, and your father figure. That little P365 was just fast all the pistol. But she got a scorpion too, and a stanky just like a scorpion do. If a demon get gregarious, my love here don't do what accordions do. That means fold, I was told by the Jesus of old. Keep your lady close, make sure she can work a pole. But they wouldn't refer on his troops. I'm still ball fade with the clip. I done been blessed with a woman that pray a bit, but turn a freak on a liver. She keep the devil on me like the cherubim. She make it clear the holy way and share them. I push the you can need you like a cherry. You gave a legend, hey, we had to bury him. That's how I be in the jungle. I grew up around wildlands and fumble.
Gotta stop you, man. I jumped you.
I know y'all was up there. I rock the sky to be humble. I told my baby girl she gon' have more in her head than just product and bundle. They say I'm rapping with hunger. I tell them, hell on me. If you book me for a show and I can't bring my wife and my babies, Big Daddy energy speaking. I keep the enemy tweaking. I can't go out on the track and I say I'm a. I'm a beacon of heat. Me and my hook, I go eat. He taught me keep a little 38 special. That bitch you ain't laying on sneezing.
We sound bye bye. If you black, we ain't sing. Bye bye bye. Yes, that's my sign. Going up and I'm dying down until I die.
I said I.
We sound bye bye. If you black, we ain't sing. That's my side. Going up, I'm a girl.
But the hood call me fat. Fire on me like Shadrack and Meshack. I keep peace for the scat. The
she held it down. That's nothing new. I'm black in America.
Yeah.
Raised in the slums, came up from crumbs, and we cool with Erica.
Yeah.
I'm talking Badu. I don't know why you can recognize who man told give and go just like a drive through. School of hard knocks, only thing I apply to. And I gotta admit it, I ain't kidding. Ain't it glorious?
Yeah.
I feel like did it, told me Biggie, we notorious.
Yeah.
But it's so much more to us. Might get a Grammy. That's a photo of us. Drop three kids, lifestyle laborious. Don't need oracles. I ain't Morpheus. I am still the young queen. Mother, baby, what did you do? If you breathe and don't care for your seed, what did you
say with me?
This for y'all who don't. Big fat, but I ain't small. Little boys gon' dress me like big crows. Rihanna ain't the only one that do it grande. Knew I'd be his fiance when he was broke on Causeway. And he ain't even hit his peak like Dante.
Okay.
And I ain't killed.
What that mean?
Dope can't never go Kanye.
This so fine. If you black, we ain't sing. So